Te Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Maharaj Rahugana meets Jada Bharata. Text 18. Tad Bruhi Asango Yadavan Niguda Vigyana Viryo Vicharasi Aparaha Vachamsi Yoga Gratitani Sadho Na Naha Chamante Manushapi Betum Tadbruhya Sango Jadavan Nigudha Vijnana Viryo Vicharasya Paraha Vachamsi Yoga Gratitani Sado Nanakshamante Manushapi Betum Tadbruhya Sango Jadavan Nigudha Vijnana Viryo Vicharasya Paraha Vachamsi Yoga Gratitani Sado Nanakshamante Manasapi Betum Tadbruhya Sango Jadavan Nigudha Vijnana Viryo Vicharasya Paraha Vachamsi Yoga Gratitani Sadho Nanachamante Manasapi Betum Vaishnavis, Tat, therefore, Bruhi, please speak. Asangaha, those who have no association with the material world. Jadavat, appearing like a deaf and dumb man. Nigudha, completely hidden. Vijnana Viryaha, who have full knowledge of the spiritual science and are thus very powerful. Vicharasi, you are moving. Aparaha, who possess unlimited spiritual glories. The Chamsi, the words uttered by you. Yoga Gratitani, bearing the complete meaning of mystic yoga. Sado, O great saintly person. Na, not. Naha, of us. Chamante, are able. Manasa api, even by the mind. Betum, to understand by analytical study. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. My dear sir, it appears that the influence of your great spiritual knowledge is hidden. Factually, you are bereft of all material association and fully absorbed in the thought of the Supreme. Consequently, you are unlimitedly advanced in spiritual knowledge. Please tell me why you are wandering around like a dullard. O great saintly person, you have spoken words approved by the yogic process, but it is not possible for us to understand what you have said. Therefore, kindly explain it. You read the translation again. My dear sir, it appears that the influence of your great spiritual knowledge is hidden. Factually, you are bereft of all material association and fully absorbed in the thought of the Supreme. Consequently, you are unlimitedly advanced in spiritual knowledge. Please tell me why you are wandering around like a dullard. O great saintly person, you have spoken words approved by the yogic process, but it is not possible for us to understand what you have said. Therefore, kindly explain it. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Saintly people like Judd Bharat do not speak ordinary words. Whatever they say is approved by great yogis and those advanced in spiritual life. That is the difference between ordinary people and saintly people. The listener must also be advanced to understand the words of such exalted, spiritually advanced people as Judd Bharat. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna and not to others. Lord Krishna especially selected Arjuna for instruction in spiritual knowledge because Arjuna happened to be a great devotee and confidential friend. Similarly, great personalities also speak to the advanced, not to sudras, vaishyas, women, or unintelligent men. Sometimes it is very risky to give great philosophical instructions to ordinary people, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the benefit of the fallen souls of Kali Yuga, has given us a very nice instruction. a very nice instrument. He is given a very nice instrument, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The general mass of people, although sudras and less, can be purified by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Then they can understand the exalted philosophical statements of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore adopted the chanting of the Hare Krishna of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for the general masses. When people gradually become purified, they are instructed in the lessons of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Materialistic people like Stri, Sudra, and Dvija Bandhu cannot understand words of spiritual advancement. Yet, one can take to the shelter of a Vaishnava, for he knows the art of enlightening even sudras in the highly elevated subject matter spoken in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'll speak some words about this verse in purport and then ask for questions about that, and then finally I'll show a few pictures of Ujjain in India, where I visited recently the ashram of Sandipani Muni, where Krishna and Balaram went to school to Gurukula. So it's a little humbling for us in the Western world, whether we be born in the bodies of men or women, to read that we're not really qualified, men or women, to understand the transcendental words of the Vedas, especially. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained, Stri Sudra Dvija Bandhu Traina Shruti Gochara. That's what Srila Prabhupada is referring to in this purport. It's said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that women, sudras, and the Dvija Bandhus, those of the higher caste who are born in the higher caste but who don't live up to the principles of the higher caste, are not really fit to understand Shruti. So Shruti generally means the direct words of the four Vedas, the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Artava Veda, and the Upanishads and things like that. Therefore, Srila Vyasadeva composed literatures like the Mahabharata and the Puranas, including the Bhagavat Purana or the Srimad Bhagavatam, for the benefit of such men and women who are not fit, really, to directly understand the words of the Shrutis, the original four Vedas. So you see, we don't have Rig Veda class here every morning and every evening. We have Bhagavad Gita class in the evening and Srimad Bhagavatam class in the morning. Because these are the literatures that are especially meant for the men and women of this fallen age of Kali. We're all less intelligent. Kalau Sudra Sambhavat. In the age of Kali, we're all born on the level of sudras or less. Really. So, We're not really capable of directly absorbing the original Vedic literature directly. Therefore, we hear Bhagavad Gita, which comes from the Mahabharata, and we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, in which we find the essence of the Vedic literature presented in terms suitable for our understanding. But even there, there is some preparation required. There's always some preparation required in order to understand. Are you signaling me this? It won't stay up. What do we do? Okay. Okay, we follow the instructions of the higher authorities. So even in hearing, you know, the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada is indicating in this purport that some preparation is necessary, some initial purification of consciousness is necessary, and we get that from chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. The purpose of, you know, the chanting of the one of the purposes of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is to cleanse the mirror of the mind, cleanse the consciousness, and then it becomes possible for us to absorb the real messages of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. As Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, the general mass of people, although sudras and less, can be purified by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Then they can understand the exalted philosophical statements of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Our Krishna consciousness movement has therefore adopted the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha mantra for the general masses. When people gradually become purified, they are instructed in the lessons of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, we may give them the books even before they become purified by, you know, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, but for them to really completely absorb the message, eventually, they have to come into the association of devotees, chant the Hare Krishna mantra, take up the practice of bhakti yoga, and in that way become fully able to appreciate and follow the instructions of these sacred literatures. That's what Srila Prabhupada is saying here. And many times, Srila Prabhupada mentioned in his lectures and letters and conversations that the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, chanting, dancing, and feasting, is really sufficient for self-realization and God realization. For example, in London, he was giving a lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam 551, August 30, 1971. He said, simply chant Hare Krishna. But if you think I am not satisfied by this simple process, I must go through science, philosophy, logic, then yes, we've got dozens of books, 400 pages each, at least, and you can read and study them. And he said this same thing many, many times. I looked up 400 pages in the Veda base and went through, and I could see he said this same thing at least a dozen times to people in different cities. Essentially, he said, chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, that's enough. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You just chant the Hare Krishna mantra and dance, take some prasadam. That's the process. But if you're not satisfied by that, you know, if you think, well, I have to understand some science, I have to understand some philosophy, then we have so many books, each over 400 pages long. Actually, this one here is over 1,000 pages long. But the point is that chanting the Hare Krishna mantra prepares us to understand these things, but actually the mantra itself is sufficient, really. But in practically speaking, however, we aren't able to do that. So therefore, you know, we have this system that both things are there. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is there, and our study of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is there. Srila Prabhupada established that. So I'll stop there and ask if there are any questions about the verse or the purport or anything that I said. Any questions or comments on these things? Yes.
Considering that we're not on the completely advanced, I guess, platform where we understand everything properly, I guess that kind of implies that the understandings that I might have about devotional service might be to some degree imperfect or not being on that platform. What's my position in terms of instructing others or helping other devotees, knowing that I myself might not have the correct understanding? Or is that right understanding?
Well, we may not be on the perfect level ourselves, but if we're following, you know, the instructions of a perfect person, then we're properly situated. And you know, sometimes we see that this happens. This happens from time to time, that you know there's an airplane flying and the pilot dies in midair. So then one of the ordinary people has to go and take over the controls of the airplane. Not a trained pilot, but from the ground he hears the instructions of the flight controllers. You know, you do like this, you do this, you do that, you do that, and such a person is able to land the plane and everyone in it and save all their lives, although he may not be himself like a perfectly qualified pilot. But because he's following the instructions of perfect persons who know the science, he's actually able to do it. So we may not be perfectly realized in every respect ourselves, but if we follow the instructions of perfect persons, then we will be able to benefit ourselves and others. You know, just like the person who's put in the position of flying the airplane, although he's not a trained pilot. If he's following the instructions of trained pilots, then he'll be able to do what he needs to do. And the people will be saved who follow him. You know, like if all the people start revolting, saying, "You're not a trained pilot, get out of there," you know, then they'll all die. They'll all crash and burn. So we may be in some position like that. So we just have to make sure that we're following proper instructions. Yes? Okay. I'm sure what I'm saying isn't quite perfect either, so.
It doesn't contradict your point. It's just another angle of vision. And Srila Prabhupada also said that everyone who pursues the path of devotional service, in the course of that, he gets some realizations, small as that may be, but he gets some understanding which conforms and correlates to what is in our books. So to the degree that you have that realization, which the person to whom you are trying to help doesn't, you can then assist him by sharing that little realization to bring him hopefully up to a higher stage from where he is. So in other words, preach on the level that you are at. And as we grow, we can of course then address larger and larger persons, address devotees who are advanced. But at the point where we may be, we may feel that we hardly know anything. Just preach what you know, and Krishna will be pleased, because that's the best you can do.
Okay. Who else was there? Okay. I'm sorry. I was looking over this way, but I didn't look far enough. Okay.
I just have a brief comment, and it's based on what Amala Bhakta Prabhu has said. I believe it's also a big issue about sincerity and desire. If you're really sincere and you try very hard, Krishna's super soul will guide you. And you start just humbly and preach simply. And when you're new in preaching, you just preach the basic philosophy, and you start from the bottom, and Krishna will guide you. And through the course of time, you will be able to increase your preaching. And by your sincerity and your prayers, you become more of a better preacher. And through time, this increases, and you learn more shlokas, and you learn how to be a better preacher. So it's your effort and sincerity that's very important, and your patience and faith that Krishna will help you.
Very nice insights. Thank you. I think to kind of keep to the schedule, yeah, I'm going to go on with the next part of this program. If this remote works, I can sit here. Okay, I may need that. So a few days ago, I got back from India. I was attending some seminars at Ujjain, which in ancient times was known as Avantipur. It's the place where Sandipani Muni had his ashram. And it's in, Ujjain is in central India, near Indore in the Madhya Pradesh state. You know, Mumbai is here. I flew into Mumbai and then went to Indore by plane and then was taken by car to Ujjain. You know, Vrindavan is up here. So it's about halfway between Mumbai and Vrindavan. So, in Ujjain, Bhakti Charu Maharaj and his supporters have, you know, built a nice temple complex. You know, this is the temple there, and this is, you know, the interior of the temple. It's very, you know, beautiful place. The local people like it very much. And they have, you know, three sets of deities, Gorni Tai, Radha Madan Mohan with Lalita and Vishaka, and then Krishna and Balaram, and then also Sandipani Muni is there. You know, as we can see here. So Krishna and Balaram were students of Sandipani Muni, and they have a murti of him on the altar there. It's, of course, it's Kartik, so they have a very beautiful ceremony there in the evening, as we do here, morning and evening, you know, offering lamps to the deities in commemoration of the Damodar pastime. You know, the temple complex also includes a very nice guest house and restaurant. So it's a very nice, you know, complex. Lots of people visit it. It's a wonderful project. But this is a temple at the ashram of Sandipani Muni, which is outside Ujjain in the countryside. And in this temple, there are some images of Sudam, you know, who was Krishna's schoolmate, you know, at the ashram of Sandipani Muni. And then there's Sri Krishna, and then there's Balaram over here. And in the middle there, that's a place for Vyasadev. But he's not there. He's in the Himalayas. It's a really nice place to visit. This is another building in the complex. You know, they call it the Sandipani Muni Ashram. And inside, you know, they also have, again, you know, these forms of these images of Sandipani Muni's famous students, Sudama, Krishna, Balaram. And this is a painting showing Sandipani Muni instructing Krishna and Balaram at his Gurukula. And this is a murti of Sandipani Muni in the Sandipani Muni ashram. The place is actually run by followers of Vallabhacharya. Yeah, it's, as I said, it's a very beautiful place. It's, you know, there's lots of trees and greenery. They have some cows there. It's, you know, nice country ashrama. And, you know, this is like a bathing tank there. It's said to have been there since the time of Krishna. Actually, Krishna is said to have built it for the students to wash their plates after prasadam. Something we all need to do in the ashram. We have to have a place to wash our plates. So, now this is that place at that ashram. And there's a kirtan hall there that has on the roof, you know, some paintings of Sandipani Muni. This is Krishna and Balaram coming to, you know, showing them when they're first arriving at, you know, the ashram of Sandipani Muni and his wife. And this painting shows them studying, Krishna and Balaram and Sudama studying with their guru, Sandipani Muni, at his ashram. And this painting is of the famous pastime where Krishna and Sudama go out to collect wood for their guru. And the ashram of the guru, the students, you know, they're expected to behave as menial servants. So they served their spiritual master. They were ordered to go out and gather some wood, so they did that. But and this side of the painting shows how there was a rainstorm at night, and Sudama and Krishna spent, you know, the whole night out in the forest in the rain. You know, and they've got their little stacks of wood that they had collected, but they weren't able to go back until later when their spiritual master sent, you know, other disciples out to look for them and find them. So Krishna later recalled, you know, this pastime with his friend Sandipani Muni, with his friend Sudama Brahmachari, when Sudama came to visit him in Dwarka. So then, at a certain point, it was time for Krishna and Balaram to leave the ashram. So when they left the ashram, of course, they wanted to offer some dakshin, so they asked what they could give as dakshin, and, you know, Sandipani Muni and his wife asked if you could please retrieve for us our son, because their son had died under some strange circumstances and they wanted him back. So they got him back, you know, from the court of Yamaraj. So this shows, you know, Krishna and Balaram returning the son of Sandipani Muni and his wife, you know, to them. In exchange for this, you know, Sandipani Muni gave them blessings. Of course, they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They don't need any blessings, but, you know, they were playing the role of students, so they accepted them. Huh? The blessing was for that his words would become renowned, you know, down through the ages. Was there something else? And ever fresh, right. So that's Krishna's teachings in the Bhagavad Gita are like that. So then they left, you know, the ashram of Sandipani Muni. So this is one of the other buildings in the little complex there. So, that's it. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.